It's 3:33, Downtown Wednesday show. Rich Kimble, Ryan Wehning with you. And time to get on board the G&M Family Market phone line and connect with David Roth of Vice Sports. David, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. You're feeling okay because I saw the social media post that you cooked blowfish tails and you ate these things. What prompted this?
This was basically my wife and I need to get out more. Like, our hobbies just become getting weird fishes and trying to figure out ways to cook them. And this was, apparently it's, I'm living proof that not all blowfishes are fatal. If somebody had a professional clean them for us, they're good. I think if you put like cornmeal and flour on anything and cook it in oil, it's probably going to taste all right. So unless it's a really slow acting poison, I would have to call it a success.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Now, what would you compare the taste of the blowfish to?
It's weird. It's a really strange looking thing. It has a spine in it and it has a little like tail on the end. So it looks like just something you get at like a fair, like a weird like corn doggy thing. But it tastes kind of like monkfish or, like cod. It's not like the most remarkable taste in the world. Mostly I'm just glad that I'm healthy enough to talk to you after taking that.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I'll do it again, but we proved something to ourselves.
And I think that's
which
important.
Is that we need new hobbies, I think.
Now, do you play Darius Rucker records while you're eating this?
We did not, but of course that's always in my mind. As like most people, I have this every now and then a Hootie song will get stuck in your head for 36 hours and things get real dark.
No question about that. You had a very interesting column this week about Tim Tebow and suggesting that perhaps we should take Tim Tebow at his word about this baseball career.
Yeah, I was not expecting to go in that direction. I mean, I haven't, like anybody else, I'd really kind of stopped thinking about Tebow for, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was writing about him like everybody else was. And then he just kind of like, is the punchline anymore. It's like a Chuck Norris joke or something, It's just like really 2011 stuff. But I watched the Mets, who are really keen on milking whatever they can from this signing, they put his whole press availability on TV the other day, and, it's not like I'm going to not watch Tim Tebow answer questions for 45 minutes. Again, like I said, I need new hobbies. But I was struck by how, and I was always struck by this, actually, even when he was at the center of that whole storm, in 2013, he himself is pretty earnest and more than a little bit boring, and it's just kind of amazing that so much argument was leveraged on all of that. Because he's just a guy. He's like a dude in instructional league who is an ineffective NFL quarterback. That's not like objectively by any reason an interesting story. And yet somehow he is still at the center of this stuff. I feel like he's more sincere than any of the stuff that's been thrown up around him.
David, don't you think there's some value in signing a guy like Tebow, though, with all the negative press that's been chasing a lot of sports celebrities lately? Don't you think even if he can't play at all, can't play a lick, there's value to having him around as a face for your team?
I honestly do. And it's funny because it's, beyond his, sort of what he means in, the broader, culture war context, where he's, the stand-in for a certain type of values or whatever, it's very interesting for me that, you look at the instructional league, the video that they had, all the guys that are there with him are the Mets draft picks this year, and, their seasons are over. Why would you not want those people to be around a guy who, beyond, the fact that he's a very charitable person and a mensch in a bunch of other ways, he's been there. He's been famous, more famous than, anybody would ever have thought justifiable. And, he's a worldly person. If you had to put a bunch of 21-year-olds around anybody in extended spring training scenarios, I would absolutely think that he would be there. Even if he's just sort of a life coach / mascot, which I sense is really about the ceiling for him as a baseball player, there's still something to that. And, I don't know what it'll wind up benefiting. I think that's you only find that out when, the fifth round pick gets to the majors and talks about what Tebow did to help him. Right now, it's just everybody's guessing and stuff.
David Roth of Vice Sports with us here on Downtown. And it's interesting with him because it seems that either those who embrace him or those who despise him, It has very little to do with his athletic abilities and perhaps even less to do with him. It's more about which group do you want to be associated with.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the part of it that, I mean, I feel bad for him in that regard because, like, he never asked for any of that necessarily. I mean, like, he didn't exactly run away from it, you know, in terms of being public with what he's public with. But, yeah, I mean, like, none of this has ever had much to do with him, I don't think. I mean, he was just like a guy that he wasn't the first person to kneel in prayer after scoring a touchdown. You know, like he was not the first person to be, you know, like public as, you know, an evangelical person or whatever. It just became this sort of thing where he, some people were too into him, some people were too mad. And in the middle, there's just like this guy who couldn't throw the ball very well, you know, but everybody agreed was like fairly likable. It's strange what a strange public life he's had, because you'd think that there's guys that are more polarizing in terms of what they can actually do. And, you know, I would say that we mostly watch sports to watch these people play sports. He was never really that compelling an athlete, at least after college. And yet he still somehow has been such a, you know, whatever, polarizing figure, despite the fact that he himself is the opposite of that.
Well, speaking of polarizing, the whole Colin Kaepernick thing continues to simmer in a lot of quarters. And in your Week in Review last Friday, a wonderful piece focusing on the fact that so many pundits out there believe that we should not be expressing opinions and caring and talking about what athletes think. And I have to tell you, your line about David Brooks, I laughed out loud reading it because of your Family Circus reference, which was just awesome.
That makes me very happy. David, you know, obviously this is, when you get into thinking about stuff like that, you can get into a kind of a dark headspace, but David Brooks just restores me, man. That guy is my muse. Just the goofiest, most obtuse individual. I mean, and like, it's the New York Times editorial page. There's competition there, and he's still just the most, whatever, just out there, milquetoasty guy. To me, like, that was, you know, again, aside from whether you do or don't agree with, I don't really think it's a very controversial point that Kaepernick is trying to make. I think it's the question of people acting so offended or put off by having to see it, to me, is just so babyish. Like, I can't relate to that. I can definitely understand people saying, you know, that they see this as disrespectful of the anthem, or I can almost even see it as the sort of thing. I don't, you know, the anthem to me represents more than, like, first responders and troops. But, you know, it represents them, too. And if people see that as disrespectful to them, I can understand being offended by it. But so much of this, to me, comes back to being, like, affronted over just having to think about somebody else's perspective on something. And it's the idea that football takes place entirely in a vacuum is, like, I mean, that's one way to watch it. It just seems like the least interesting possible way to.
Well, and I'm amazed and amused with people like Brooks and the idea that that sports in general is somehow in this cocoon and that it's never soiled with anything from the outside world, whether it's politics or goodness gracious, no crass commercialism of any kind. It's untouched. This would be the same league that got a whole bunch of money from the military to promote what they do as part of official game ceremonies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. The NFL created this. The players used to be in the locker room during the anthem. And then in 2009, when they start getting this paid patriotism money, suddenly the guys are on the sideline, you know, whatever, getting teary or doing whatever it is that J.J. Watt does. And, like, again, that's their business. I assume that they were saluting in the locker room as well, or not. But it's all so stagey to me. And the idea that somehow there's a period of time when it wasn't this way, and somehow the bad guys made it this way, is, I mean, Ball 4 came out like 45 years ago. How do you have any illusions about professional athletes being anything other than actual people at this point? Like, I mean, unless you really have a lot invested in that particular illusion, it just seems really childish to me. And also weird. Like, you can't really watch sports without getting some sense of the fact that these people have personalities and that there's some, you know, that they're humans. They're humans that are better at football than us. But, like, how could you possibly ignore that? It's just bizarre to me.
Hey, away from sports, there's been a lot of attention focused lately on Jimmy Fallon and his interview with Donald Trump. And you know, at a time when people are watching late night comedians more and more for news sources, have we put too much pressure on a guy like Jimmy Fallon to all of a sudden turn into the second coming of Walter Cronkite?
Yeah, I'd sure say so. I mean, of all the people that you could possibly expect that from. I mean, like, Jimmy Fallon makes whatever, like, Jay Leno look like George Carlin. This is, like, the most down-the-middle guy. Like, all he wants to do is, like, sing and play games with people. I mean, I don't really dig his show, but it's, like, suddenly you get mad at, like, this guy that's basically just, like, a really good-natured 15-year-old for not coming at Trump on whatever, like, the issues of the day. I don't think either one of them. I mean, that would have been a much less illuminating thing. I think that, first of all, people like to kick Fallon around, but I think that the people that, which, you know, again, I'm very much among them, but I think just because it's, you know, it's funny, he's such a goofball, but in terms of the idea that, like, this is supposed to be, if you're going to have Trump on, like, whatever, there's its own questions there, you know, ethically or whatever, but I think that there's this tendency to blame the media for the problem. You know, if you see Trump as a problem, the idea of blaming the media for somehow its persistence, I think is a lot, it's a lot easier than actually looking at the other reasons why that is one of the two nominees for the presidency. You know, it's not Jimmy Fallon's fault. You can be annoyed at Jimmy Fallon because Jimmy Fallon's annoying, but that's not the problem.
But not in this specific instance, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is you know, whatever, a rare instance of you being like, hey, guys, take it easy on Jimmy Fallon. But, you know, seriously, take it easy on Jimmy Fallon. It's not,
that's right.
You didn't vote.
Yeah, it doesn't make Fallon any less annoying, and it doesn't make Trump any more frightening or less frightening.
Yeah, and I also don't think that the super, you know, the other side of it, the partisan thing, like, I don't think the Sam B stuff is especially illuminating either. You know, like, I think she's funnier, but not in both cases. There's something, this idea that, you know, media is supposed to be exactly what it is that you want it to be. I mean, like, I suppose that's possible. You know, there's more and more choices. You can get something that's going to flatter exactly the perspective that you want to have flattered, but, like, to me that seems like more of a problem than a solution.
And that's exactly it too, because the late night comedy shows have become much like the television networks that choose to cater to a specific point of view. So yeah, I'll watch the news that tells me I'm absolutely right, and then I'll get my late night laughs with that comedian who tells me I'm right about everything.
Right, which is, to me, I guess I understand it in some ways. I mean, just because it's less, it's the same thing as the Kaepernick stuff, you know, that, like, you don't want to be bothered. So you can choose to live within a media landscape that will never bother you, that will never tell you anything that upsets the apple cart. But to me, like, I don't know, that just seems dreary. And the idea of, like, everything becoming partisan, you know, and I think the conversation about the NFL has a lot of this too, where there's this sort of, like, there are radicals and there are quietists, and there's this sort of, I don't, you know, the idea of, like, eroding common ground in everything, like, if everything becomes as polarized as our national politics, like all the entertainment that we have, that to me doesn't seem like a really healthy or sustainable situation.
Well said. That's why we have you on, and love having you on the show. David,
yeah.
Roth, hey, great as
always. Love to bring that doom to the greater Bangor.
Thank
Sorry
you. Thank you. That's look, we live for that kind of thing here.
I appreciate it, Dean. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Next time you're cooking dangerous fish, be sure to put it out there on Twitter so the world can be thinking about you.
Yeah, I may mention it first so that somebody will be ready to get help if I screw it up.
Thank you. Yeah, we're all thinking about you, David. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Rich. Thank you very much.
We'll
Have a good one.
You bet. We'll talk with you soon. That's David Roth, a terrific writer from Vice Sports.